Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Marcy Cheek, and this is my show, Say What? When? Where? And the question I've asked my whole life, why? And tonight I am going to talk about human design. I just found out that someone has made up this four types of human design. And you can look at this at www.humandesignamerica.com. And I just found out this week that my original human design for this lifetime is as a reflector. Now, there are manifestors, generators, projectors, and reflectors. So I'm going to read just a brief definition of what each one of these types is and does, and then if you're interested in finding out more about each one and maybe perhaps discover which one you are, you can go to the website www.humandesignamerica.com and put in your information and get a more specific printout. The producers of this human design say that by determining your type, you can better understand your unique role in the world and discover your own gifts and talents and explore dilemmas and potentials. So it helps to strengthen our understanding of ourselves. And I'm all for knowing more about myself. So here's the general information. First of all, a generator. A generator is a person who is a very active person. It's a person who does things and gets things done. They're naturally full of energy and will work almost tirelessly for their cause. They have deep dedication and perseverance. And manifestors have a strong ability to communicate, and they're very good at getting people motivated and getting things started. They have natural enthusiasm and can persevere in the face of difficulties and obstacles. And when their passion is connected to their energy, they are masters, and their mastery will lead them into success and satisfaction. Now, a projector is a very sensitive person and is aware of the energy of others. They recognize and encourage the natural gifts and capabilities of others. Projectors have unique insights into the way life works, and they can be powerful guides. A manifestor is a person who's able to act and make decisions independently, moving and exploring without need for outside validation. That's a manifestor. Now, a reflector is a person who is, this is what I am. I forgot to turn my phone off here just a minute. Now, a reflector is a person who is naturally perceptive and aware of the energy of others. But I have unique insights into the way life works. Through my keen perceptions and awareness, I can see how things fit into the larger picture. You know what? I've always been able to do this. I see the dilemmas people suffer, and I can also recognize people's natural gifts and capabilities, but I can be insightful and poignant in helping people to find personal empowerment. That's my whole purpose for this radio show. And because I have an open heart center, I can be flexible and I'm able to identify with many different kinds of cultures and beliefs that people have. And I also have an open throat center, so my communications are often in the moment and can reflect a concern that is perhaps only temporary or an idea that is in transition. And this can make it seem like I'm being on both sides at the same time, but the overall message is one of compassion in unity. I have wisdom and guidance to offer, and I have a pressing need to express, almost to the point of being obsessively compulsive about speaking my truth. I mean, I get to the place where I feel like if I don't say something, you know, I'm going to blow up. And in a way to understand the world, I am constantly researching all avenues of knowledge in philosophy, science, the arts, nature, as well as the thoughts and opinions of others. I have a very specialized and unique way of expressing, and I function in a delicate balance of my energies. My inner authority comes from my emotional solar plexus, which operates on the scientific principle of the bell curve, which is the highest highs and the lowest lows. And I find that there is truth at both places. My stability comes from seeing the bigger picture. Clarity comes as the emotional energy settles. And from my defined root center, I am filled with exhilaration, and I'm able to inspire those around me to evolve and grow. My sensitivity and insight into what it takes to live on the material plane makes my guidance very valuable to others. And the final thing about a reflector, which this did not surprise me, we make up only 0.01% of all of the people in the world. And you know what? This is what my husband said to me, our entire marriage. Marcy, you are in the 0.00001% of the people in the world. Because my ideas and perceptions and thoughts have always just totally overwhelmed him. And today, my children say, he's not the only one who thinks that, Mother. You are a bit overwhelming. Well, it's because I'm a reflector. You know, it's helpful to find out that if you've overwhelmed people your whole life with your ideas, it's helpful to find out that you're not the only one. And so since I am a reflector, I would like to reflect on a couple things in the current events. This week, the governor of Arizona vetoed a bill that would have allowed business owners to deny service to gays and lesbians, transsexuals, hermaphrodites, Muslims, and any other pernicious persons who might want to come into their store and buy something. The governor of Arizona vetoed the bill, saying that it would cause more problems than it would solve. But my question is, how in the world would this bill have been enforced? Would every single person who goes to the cash register to pay their bill have to eventually show some sort of a credential? You know, something that says I'm not gay or I'm not a Muslim? I mean, I know I'm required to have a driver's license in order to drive a car, and if a policeman stops me and asks for my driver's license, I have to show it to him. But to buy a latte or get a haircut, do I now need to prove to this Christian Arizona business owner that I'm a card-carrying conservative Christian right-wing Republican in order to go into his store? You know what? I have rights, too. I can choose not to go into your store, Mr. Conservative Christian right-wing Republican. Actually, this bill was sponsored by saying that it empowered religious rights. But the truth is, It was an attempt by Christians to force their beliefs on everyone else. And this is religious tyranny. And I might also reflect, these doctrines concerning abortions or gays and Muslims are all doctrines of men. And man's power is judgment and condemnation. And the energy of God is love. And God's love is unconditional. And what Christians don't seem to understand is that Jesus came here. And why? Why did Jesus come here? He could have gone, and he has gone, to lots of other places within the galaxy. So why did he come here? He came here and ended the law and all of its judgment and condemnation. And Jesus just said to love God and your brother as yourself. So even to the thief on the cross, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. And what he was really saying there is that each one of us represents God in some way, just like he represented God. And God is love. And love in manifestation loves ourselves first, and then our brother as ourself. So, you know, loving your brother just means loving your brother, period. So rather than to judge anyone as right or wrong, I try to allow each person to have their own unique and perfect way of being who they are. Allowing is not agreeing. I think if everyone could just see this tremendous difference that we can allow without agreement. I don't personally agree with everyone, but I respect everyone's right to have a unique and personal representation of God in their life, which might be totally opposite from mine, because you know what? Here's where the fun is. This is the fun of this journey, going from black to white and examining and enjoying all of the shades of gray in between. All of us are teachers and all of us are students. And when we allow rather than judge, we can get so much more out of life and have way more fun. I've been working with a gay couple from Texas who have booked their wedding ceremony here in California in the gazebo that I have right here on the edge of the ocean in Laguna Beach, California. And they said they were coming to California where they will be treated like human beings and not judged and condemned to hell by the Christians in Texas. And I'm going to be introducing them as Mr. and Mister. And they're going to be combining their last names to be just one new hyphenated last name, Cook Carter. So they will be Mr. and Mister Cook Carter. And since marriage is really just a legal thing, as I reflect upon it, I support allowing these two men to have the kinds of legal benefits that marriage gives. In your taxes, health care, and especially being able to be present at death. And as for marriage being between a man and a woman, for the past 10 years in dealing with dozens of gay couples, I have always dealt with a male and a female energy. So any decision regarding this issue must be made beyond the outward appearance, which is what the Bible tells Christians to do, to not judge by the outward appearance. Because in every case, every couple I have married who, according to outward appearances, would have been judged same-sex, every single one of these couples manifested a male energy and a female energy. Because that is the true essence and the primordial source of all life in our universe, and that goes for God. God is not a he. Primordial energy just is. It has no beginning or ending. It just is. And in our universe, it manifests as male and female. Well, I was listening to another radio show this week about a lady who called into a psychic to see if the father of her baby was going to have any importance in the life of her child. And the psychic tuned into the energy of the father and said that he was totally detached from the situation and that he was looking for other avenues of revenues and relationship. And so the woman said, well, I can see that now. And then she said, when I did find out I was pregnant, he pressured me for 2 weeks to have an abortion. She said, I began to know then he didn't want to be involved. And then she said, boy, these guys can just sweep you off your feet and then just leave you in the lurch. I wish I had seen this before. Well, you know what my reflection is about this? Lady, read my book. Because in my book, which you can download for free at www.MrRightForMe.com, I go into why a woman does not go to bed with a man until she has an engagement ring and a wedding date set with all of the deposits made and paid for in advance for the wedding and the invitations sent. And then there still is even risk there. But let me say, there are just way too many of these oops babies. A baby has the right to have a home with a mother and a father who have come together to make a life together and a home for that baby, where the baby will have all of its needs met in love and abundance. We hear about gay rights. We hear about African American rights. We have a Bill of Rights in this country. Well, what about baby rights? This baby now has to grow up in a home without a dad right from the beginning, and she will have a mother who is angry because she's allowed herself to be used and abused. Well, the psychic told her that the child is an old soul and will be a blessing to her. But what I hear from this is that this child will probably have to be the mother and help this woman grow up. And in the case of my youngest daughter and I, we've been mother-daughter, daughter-mother, mother-daughter, daughter-mother for ages and ages. So now in our day-to-day relationship in this current life, since we have been together for so long, we have worked it out. So sometimes she's the mother and sometimes I'm the mother. And we know when we are the mother and we know when we are the daughter. And the souls who are coming in today, I believe, are especially prepared old souls who are coming now to help us make the big shift from war to peace, from materialism to charity, from sex to love, from domination and control to submission one to the other, from judgment to allowing, from confusion to clarity, from victim to personal sovereignty and individual responsibility. And so I have another reflection. In the ancient Hawaiian people's tradition, there's a secret teaching that is now available to all of us, and it's called the Huna Principles. And five of these principles are Makea, energy flows where attention goes. Manawa, now is the moment of power. Iki, the world is what you think it is. And Kala, there are no limits. Everything is possible. So as I reflect upon all the messages that are being broadcast on the radio and on television and in our churches, do we want to continue to empower all the evil conditions? Do we want to continue to talk about what is wrong? Do we want to continue to expose and empower the darkness? A long time ago, a teacher I had said, "Don't curse the darkness, turn on the light." Do we want to keep telling our terrible story? Do we want to continue to complain and criticize everything and everybody? Do we want to continue to empower the bizarre, the unforgivable, the crude and rude behaviors of our society? Do we want to continue to publicize and glorify the killer and the murderer, the rapist, and teachers and priests who molest little children? Are we going to continue to exploit and debase women? Aren't you sick and tired of all of this yet? I am so sick and tired of it. I just can't listen to another commercial about a drug that causes side effects that are far worse than what the drug claims to help. I can't listen to another story of sexual exploits by the sick and the insane people in our community. I can't watch another murder on television. I can't bear to see another woman burying her breasts in her behind and licking her lips. And when all of us just get so sick and tired of all of this and we stop giving our attention to it, you know what? The energy will flow into what we are giving our attention to. What do you want to give your attention to? Darkness can't stand in the presence of light. So if energy flows where attention goes, well, let's just get our energy flow into personal pursuits that bring us happiness and joy and independence in our lives until our lives are happy and healthy and wealthy. And if you're not using your energy right now to create a happy, healthy, wealthy life for yourself, then get out the boot and start kicking yourself, because you're the only one who can make any changes. First for yourself and then for all of us, because we're creating our path in life every moment with our thoughts and our words. Change what you talk about, change your life. Change what you think about, change your life. Energy flows where attention goes. And if one person, just one person, makes one teeny tiny little change in their life, it changes the total environment of the whole universe. And step by step, little by little, as a community, we walk into love and light, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Well, I heard a channeling, an angel channeling this week that was so profound that I've still been thinking and thinking about it. This message reminded me of the days back when I was a Christian, way back in the early days of my marriage, when I was having my children and my husband and I were building a life together for our future and for the future of our children. And this was in the time when Russia was promising to bury the United States and stating that we would be raising our children under communism. So my husband and I were very actively involved in our community political structure, working hard to get good people elected to office who would help the United States be strong and be able to continue to stand for liberty and justice for all. And I'm very proud to say that we did help to elect Rhodes Scholar Mr. Richard Lugar to be mayor of our city in Indiana, and then we worked to elect him to be Senator Richard Lugar from Indiana, where he served in the Senate as the chairman of the Committee on Foreign Affairs and also on the Finance Committee. back in those days when the U.S. did stand for liberty and justice for all. And in those days, Senator Lugar fought for a balanced budget and tried his best to dismantle the IRS and the antiquated tax laws and to set up a national sales tax system that was fair and equitable for all. But that's another subject, and I won't go into that now. But the point of all of this is my husband and I were active in our community and working together to secure a good future for our children. And part of that was to take them to church every Sunday, where actually I was in charge of the children's church. And I preached a little sermon every Sunday morning to the kids, which was what I wanted my own children to know. Now, in those days, I was very enmeshed in dualistic thinking, right and wrong, good and bad, conservative and liberal, Republican and Democrat, God and the devil. And I can remember preaching in my children's church that we couldn't pray for the devil to be forgiven and saved from his sins. And you know what? Still today, if you would have this discussion with pretty much any person who claims to be a Christian, they would say that the devil is a power that is separate from God and has just as much power as God and is going around like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour, and that our only protection against the devil is the blood of Jesus. And if we're covered by the blood, we are safe. I think most Christians feel that the devil is really in charge and is running things here on earth, and they're just waiting for Jesus to come and get them out of here, which of course is what keeps the Christians from doing anything. The biggest force for change in our country, 74% of the people in the U.S. say they are a Christian. This force for change is just sitting on the pew waiting for Jesus to come and take them out of here. Well, now, this is not a new thing, because monks and priests and gurus and Buddhists have been cloistering themselves for eons, either alone or together, apart from the mainstream of life, living in caves and monasteries to chant and meditate and pray for God to come to them. And all through the eons and all through the ages, God was already inside of them, waiting for them to realize their own personal power and to come out of the cave and come out of the monastery and to come out of Babylon, the harlot church of today, who is of its father the devil, and start to do something. So man's waiting on God, and God's waiting on man. And we all end up in the boat in that fog I talked about last week on my show, where everybody's blaming everybody else for the mess. Well, sometime earlier this year, I heard that Lucifer had repented and that God was so happy to have him back in the family. Now, I think a lot of people mistake Lucifer for Satan. They think Satan and Lucifer are the same person, but they're not. And people think Satan is the devil, but the word for devil in the Greek is diabolos, which means the slanderer, false accuser, and has always been applied to men who oppose the cause of God. So being a devil is an action. It's an action by a person who is ignorant of the cause of God. And in addressing the religious leaders of his day, Jesus said they were of their father, the devil. They were the ones who were opposing him and accusing him of things that were not true. And Jesus himself even had a time alone by himself where he reviewed everything that he believed and all of the reasons he believed what he believed. And using the voice of his own ego mind to challenge himself, he made a recommitment to his purpose, and he decided to complete his mission. Not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. You know, sometimes our ego mind will challenge us. You've heard this ego mind yourself. It says things like, you can't do anything. You always take one step ahead and then fall two steps behind. You're never going to amount to anything. Everybody's against you. No one loves you. You're a mistake. And on and on and on goes this accuser of the brethren. Accusing is an action. And the word diablos, from which we get the word devil, is an action of accusing someone. Which pretty much is all you hear on the news today. Accusations and accusations and accusations. Well, who is Lucifer and who is Satan? Well, the Bible says that Lucifer was a member of God's cosmic hierarchy. He's called an angel, beautiful and perfect in all of his ways. And he had a realm of authority. He was a system sovereign, which means that he was in charge of many solar systems in our galaxy. And our solar system was one of the ones he was in charge of. And his first lieutenant's name was Satan. Satan worked for Lucifer. Now, one day, Lucifer decided he didn't want to continue to do things the way that they had been set up. And he created another way to do things that he thought would work better. He wanted to have more independence in the realms of his sub-managers, to give them more autonomy in the administrations of their job. So he sent out his first lieutenant, Satan, to talk to all the managers of all the planets in each solar system. Now, from the very beginning, Satan has been appearing before the throne of God among the sons of God to get his marching orders. When he was sent to Job to set up some challenges for him, so Job could have the opportunity to contemplate and delineate his own personal relationship with God, it was Lucifer's throne that Satan was sent out from. Because Lucifer was in charge of our solar system at that time. And Lucifer sent Satan to Job to create circumstances so Job could make his own decisions. And it was Lucifer who sent Satan to Earth to talk to Caligastia, who was in charge of Earth at that time, to get his agreement to start to do things the new way and not continue to go with the accepted order of cosmic management. And Caligastia thought that Lucifer had some good ideas. So he decided to go into cahoots with him. Well, actually, a third of all the planets under Lucifer's dominion did decide to join in with the new order of things. And at that point, the cosmic controllers took charge and put the entire galaxy in quarantine in order to stop the reorganization from expanding further. And we have pretty much been in quarantine ever since, pending the adjudication of this case. Now, in the late 1980s, it was reported that the Lucifer rebellion case had finally been adjudicated and sentencing was being considered. And then came the big news. Lucifer had repented and subsequently was received back into the family with open arms. The prodigal son had returned home. And Mother, Father, God, and all of the other cosmic rulers were ecstatic. And since that time, Earth, as well as all of the other planetary systems, have now been reestablished within the communications of the universe, and the rest is history, as they say. Now, I said all that in order to say this. The current report on the sentencing is that with the repentance of Lucifer and the others in his administration, including Satan, that these systems of domination and control which were set up and which still seem to be in control, that the people the Christians call the Antichrists and the New World Order, and the people who the New Agers call the Illuminati and the world banking systems, the Matrix or the Corporation, that there are people who work in these systems, and even the people who are in charge of these systems, now know that their leaders have had a change of heart, And now these managers are beginning to see that what they are doing is wrong and not in the highest and best good for themselves or for the people who are affected by the system. They originally believed that they had been empowered by God to set up these systems that they manage. And now they're beginning to be more flexible and even instrumental in making changes that affect the overall power of the system to even continue to operate, because they're becoming aware that we're moving into a system of justice and balance, and they want to try to preserve whatever part of their way of life that they have created that they can. What we have to understand about all of this is that from the beginning, everything and everyone was created in love, by love, to be love, to live in love, and to experience love. Because loving and being loved is all there is. Those original ideas of domination and control were based in love, rules made by wise ones to help the new creation man to grow up. They were like our mothers and our fathers saying, yes, do this, no, 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 don't do that, and just let me take care of all of this for you because I know better than you do. I have lived a long time and I know how because I know more. And like little children, we have just let them take care of us and make all of our decisions for us. Because remember, love does not wish for anyone to be lost. Love does not wish for anyone to perish. Love wishes for all to come to the knowledge of the truth. And now it's time for us to graduate. We have all grown up in a lovely system of being taken care of. And now it's time for us to start to take care of ourselves. And those who have been taking care of us are going to begin to step aside. And those who have lined their own pockets during the process and who have taken advantage of the system and using greed and avarice to accumulate vast fortunes that have been stolen from us, fortunes that are our own personal inheritance, these ones will be exposed and released from their responsibilities. And those who have been working within these systems, who are of a pure heart and who really only want the highest and best good for all the people, and there are many, many more of these people than there are of the others, these people will be transitioned into management positions within the community that will showcase their specific gifts and talents for service. There have been many new ideas that were developed during the administration of Lucifer's Rebellion. Lucifer did allow for his administrators to work within a more liberal interpretation of his principles. Lucifer acknowledged that if he himself, as a perfect being, could have independent ideas apart from the already demonstrated and proven methods of administration, that his co-managers and his secretaries and vendors could also have independent ideas that could be used to benefit the system as a whole. And he allowed for this creativity to be manifested. He allowed this principle of autonomy and leadership, which is an excellent principle. This principle of leadership is an open door to even more excellence. And this principle that Lucifer brought to our universe is now also being reflected upon and considered by the administrators of other universes. So the time that we're living in now is the transition from childhood to adulthood. Actually, we're having a big bar mitzvah, a giant global bar mitzvah. A quinceanera, if you will. And if we could just see it as a great big celebration, a grand transition into a golden age of peace on earth, goodwill towards all men, where all things are working together for good. And I choose to align my energies with this. I choose to empower this idea. And I'm asking for you to please join me. And I would like to close tonight with the 7 Hawaiian Huna principles. And I'm going to say each one 3 times. The world is what you think it is. The world is what you think it is. The world is what you think it is. There are no limits. Everything is possible. There are no limits. Everything is possible. There are no limits. Everything is possible. Energy flows where attention goes. Energy flows where attention goes. Energy flows where attention goes. Now is the moment of power. Now is the moment of power. Now is the moment of power. To love is to be happy with. To love is to be happy with. To love is to be happy with. All power comes from within. All power comes from within. All power comes from within. Effectiveness is the measure of truth. Effectiveness is the measure of truth. Effectiveness is the measure of truth. And until next week now, this is Reflector Marcianne saying aloha. Aloha in the Hawaiian language means hello, goodbye, and I love you. My music is by visionarymusic.com, music designed to help you take that tiny first step into being who you really are. Thank you.